On May 11th, 2023, Taylor Marshall announced on social media that he's running for president. When asked for his campaign information, Marshall responded by saying that he has founded the Christ the King Party. As a result of this post, many people started to talk about Taylor Marshall. On the next day, May 12th, Marshall made another definitive post stating, quote, "I'm running for president." In connection with this announcement, on the same day, LifeSite News, a very widely read pro-life website, published a big article entitled, "Taylor Marshall Announces Run for President of the United States." As soon as we heard about this, based on what we know about Taylor Marshall and what he claimed to be doing, we concluded that it was a publicity move, an effort to vault himself into the discussion or into the news, the kind of thing that Taylor Marshall frankly does in order to promote himself. On the days after his big announcement, Marshall continued to declare over and over again that he is in fact running for president. On May 12th, he confirmed, quote, "Yes, I am running." As a result of such a surprising announcement on such a significant issue that so many people care about, Marshall even started to trend on social media for a short period of time. Marshall shared the news that he was trending, probably happily, with his followers. On May 15th, Marshall posted, quote, "As I run for President of the United States." On the same day, he posted, "Breaking, Taylor Marshall running for president." On May 16th, he announced the motto for his campaign. So his presidential run was so official that it even had a motto. On May 17th, he posted a poll that supposedly had him beating Ron DeSantis, and on the same day he posted a new profile picture with the words, Tay24. Marshall posted things about who would be his VP, and he posted comments from various people who would support his campaign.
"I am also running for president in 2024 on the Christ the King platform."
As a result of all this hype created by Marshall, he was given interviews with various outlets, including an interview with Charlie Kirk, who has an extremely large audience.
"You're running for president, which is the big news, but we will get to that. First, take a little time to introduce yourself, what you have studied, the work you do, and the books you have published."
On May 17th, another publication, NCR, mentioned Marshall and his announcement. But then on May 19th, about 1 week after his huge announcement, after receiving lots of free publicity and after various proclamations from Marshall that he is in fact running for president, in another interview, Marshall's story started to change and crack. He was asked, quote, "Are you serious about running?" He responded, "I'm serious about preparing to run. There has to be a form filed officially, and that form has not been filed. So until that happens, it's not on ink," end quote.
Okay, so my first question just has to be, are you serious about running?
"I'm serious about preparing to run. There has to be a form filed officially, and that form has not been filed. So until that happens, it's not, you know, on ink."
Wait a second. Over the previous week, he had repeatedly declared that he is running for president, and he received all kinds of publicity and attention precisely because he was running for president. The reason he's being interviewed here, supposedly, is that he's a candidate for president of the United States. But now, when pressed, he won't even say for sure that he's going to run at all. So why is he being interviewed if he's not committed to run? Is Taylor Marshall so important that people need to interview him because he has thoughts about possibly running for president, but he might not run at all? This is ridiculous. In this May 19th interview, Marshall reveals that he had not even filed the paperwork to run for president. This is a week after, quote, confirming via text to LifeSite that he is in fact running and receiving a big article promoting him as a result. So is that official paperwork to run for president hard to file? You might think that it is, but actually it isn't. It's very easy, and it doesn't take much time at all, as Marshall even admitted in the same May 19th interview.
"Yeah, I mean, we have the forms, looking at them. It's actually not that difficult of a process. It's remarkable how easy it is to file."
The fact that Marshall did not complete this very easy paperwork demonstrates that his original proclamations that he was running weren't sincere and honest. He wasn't committed to run, but he was committed to telling people that he was going to run, because he knew it would be a way for him to gain a lot of attention and vault himself into one of the most widely discussed news stories in the world, the presidential race. If you know much about Taylor Marshall, you know that he's constantly trying to capitalize on what's breaking in the news and thinking of ways to promote himself. What he should be focused on, however, is faithfulness to God's truth and consistency, which he lacks. Now consider this. In the same interview on May 19th, Marshall was asked if he's going to run as a Republican, independent, or what. Marshall responded by claiming that uncertainty about this matter is the holdup.
"Now, is your plan to run as a Republican or independent or what when you file?"
That's really the delay, you know, and what we're discussing is what is the best way to position these talking points and to position this platform? Is it to go third party, or is it to join in and try to get on the stage with the Republicans and into the primaries and into the debate. So that's really, I think, the main question of not moving forward aggressively yet is that has to be decided.
But this doesn't make any sense. Remember back on May 11th when Marshall was asked about his campaign information? He said that he had founded the Christ the King Party, and he said that in response to someone who asked about his candidacy for president. Obviously, therefore, the Christ the King Party would be the party under which he would run for president, right? The one he founded in connection with this big announcement that he's running for president? But about a week after stating that he founded the Christ the King Party, he doesn't even know which party he will represent, and in this interview he says nothing at all about the Christ the King Party. So what was this Christ the King Party? It's hard to tell, but it seems to have just been a website Marshall had created in order for people to enter their email address and possibly their name, so that Marshall could then expand his email list and subscriber base with people who had some conservative leanings and views. In other words, it was a marketing ploy. Also consider this. On May 12th, when the hype around Marshall's announcement was gaining momentum, Marshall asked people to post graphics and ideas for the Christ the King Party. But just 1 week later, he wouldn't even say that he is running under this party or running at all. So Marshall wanted people to spend their time designing graphics, obviously with his name and or face, for a supposed political party that he wasn't committed to running with, and he didn't even mention 1 week later. This is absurd. Marshall didn't care that people were wasting their time. What he cared about is that they were promoting and hyping Taylor Marshall. That's what's important to him. So after squeezing all the publicity he could out of this faux declaration, on July 4th, he posted a video called Dr. Taylor Marshall's Presidential U.S. Platform in 12 Points. Even the title of the video gives the impression that he is actually running for president. The same is true of various statements in the video. For example,
my presidential campaign platform point number 9. Point number 11 in my presidential platform for the campaign. How do we put in place this Taylor Marshall, the Marshall Plan?
But if you watch the entire video, you learn that he is actually not running for president at all. It was an insincere publicity ploy.
Can it be done in 6 months to get me on the stage, to get me on ballots, to get me into debates? And as we consulted and as we discussed, the answer is no, it's not possible.
Taylor Marshall has engaged in other deceptive and insincere publicity stunts as well. There was the incident on October 21, 2019, when an Austrian man named Alexander became famous for removing Pachamama idols from a church in Rome. Taylor Marshall immediately broke the news, which became an international story, and drove a tremendous amount of traffic to his channel by covering the story and interviewing the man at the center of it.
It is with great joy to announce that the Pachamama idols that had polluted the church of Santa Maria Trasputina in Rome have been destroyed. They've been thrown into the Tiber River.
About 2 weeks after the incident, on November 4th, 2019, Alexander revealed himself for the first time as the person behind the removal of the idols. And on the very same day, Taylor Marshall posted a long interview with Alexander, the man at the center of the story. Marshall therefore had special access to the man at the heart of this major story. But what Marshall did not tell people at the time, this came out months later, was that he knew Alexander before this incident, and that he helped create and fund the very story he was covering, a story for which he was receiving tremendous traffic and possibly significant financial support.
When we were already sitting at the airport of Munich, going through our channel and reading the already more than 1,000 comments and articles from, at that point, German and Austrian and American and French and Italian and English media. So then we saw, okay, that's getting really big.
Since in the initial months after the incident, people did not know that Marshall was behind the event, the impression created was that Marshall is so well informed that if something big like this happens in Rome, he will be able to find out what's going on, and the person at the center of it will want to talk to him because he's so influential and important. In fact, near the beginning of the November 4th, 2019 interview with Alexander, Marshall asks Alexander about the proper pronunciation of his last name, which some might think implies that they had just met.
I'm joined here today with a man who has been called by Cardinal Brandmuller as both courageous and prophetic. I'm here with Alexander Chuguel. Did I say that correctly, Alexander?
Yes, you did.
During the same interview, Marshall says, quote, even though we didn't know your name and we didn't know your face, end quote.
And we also saw it was an opportunity for, you know, Cardinal Mueller went on EWTN and praised it. Cardinal Brandmiller praised it. Schneider praised it. I mean, we saw people come out and rally, even though we didn't know your name, we didn't know your face, we saw people come out and take a stand and say, we, idols in church is a step too far.
But that's just not true. Marshall knew Alexander, helped Alexander plan the event, funded his trip, and edited the video footage. Alexander decided to reveal this months later in a March 27th, 2020 interview with Marshall.
Everyone knows you as the guy who threw the Pacha idols in the river, and we thank you again for doing that. That was a great moment of victory and joy.
Taylor, isn't now the time to tell the people a little bit about how we were in contact?
I guess perhaps we can. I wasn't prepared for that, but yeah, Alexander and I had met in Rome before all this. We met before even the Pachas were out. And when we learned about the tree that was planted in that ceremony with the Pachas, we were at dinner and we were discussing how we might go in and rip that tree out of the ground. So at that point, we were just needing to get it done. And so you worked out your plan with your friend, and I wired you some money for airfare, and you guys flew from Vienna over to Rome. And you got it done.
That's it, yes.
It was a wonderful thing. And then you sent me the video footage.
Yes. And you cut it.
And I edited the video footage. And then, this has never been told before. And then, as I just waited until you texted me and said, our airplane is off the ground in Rome. We're free. We're out of Rome. And then at that point, I uploaded the footage to YouTube. So that's the real story.
Even though we didn't know your name, we didn't know your face, we saw people come out and take a stand.
Moreover, in the November 4th, 2019 interview, about 2 weeks after the removal of the idols, and before it was known that Marshall had funded it, Alexander says that he, that is Alexander, cut or edited the video and uploaded it.
Then we came to the place where we slept, went there and start cutting the video. And after cutting the video, we packed our stuff, went to the airport, and had our first breakfast at the airport. And then we loaded up the video in Rome. And, you know, we loaded up two videos because we made a long and a short version. The long version had the purpose to show it, and the short version had a little bit the nicer filming and with the music and so on. So just that people get a feeling of what has been done. And we then uploaded this because we had two stops with the flight. Between the two flights.
Yet in the March 27th, 2020 interview, in which it came out that Marshall had in fact funded and helped plan the event, it was stated that Marshall is the one who edited the footage and uploaded it.
Yes.
It was a wonderful thing. And then you sent me the video footage.
Yes. And you cut it.
And I edited the video footage. And then, this has never been told before, and then as I just waited until you texted me and said, our airplane is off the ground in Rome. We're free. We're out of Rome. And then at that point, I uploaded the footage to YouTube.
Further, in his October 21st, 2019 video, in which he broke the story immediately after it happened, which was posted early in the morning in the U.S., Marshall said that he hadn't shaved or combed his hair, as if he wasn't prepared to cover the story but was doing it anyway in the middle of the night because it's so important to the viewers.
Sorry, it's very early in the morning. It's the middle of the night here in Texas, because this just happened in Rome, a 7-hour time difference. Sorry, it's very early in the morning, as you can tell. I haven't even shaved, combed my hair or anything.
That gave the impression that Marshall was surprised by this, when in fact he knew it was coming, he helped to plan it, and he edited and uploaded the video. In the same breaking news video of October 21st, 2019, Marshall refers to the video that has come up online, the one he apparently edited.
I'm going to link the video that's come up online of the destruction of the Pachamama idols in Rome.
And he says, quote, it looks like they got them all, end quote.
Early morning, there's St. Peter's. There's Castle San Angelo. And here are the Pachamama into the river. You can see that looks like they got them all.
Well, he should know since he funded the event, was in contact with Alexander, and edited the video. Before it came out that Marshall was involved with the planning and funding of the event, in Marshall's videos he repeatedly described Alexander as a hero and encouraged people to financially support him.
I salute these men as heroes. So, pray for these heroes. We salute them.
So, how can we support you? Do we create GoFundMe? What is a way that, if something should happen, how can we help? We need leadership. We need voices in Europe. I think at this moment, you're that face. You're the guy who went into the church at 7 o'clock after he prayed the rosary, picked up 5 potches, and put them in the Tiber River. We salute you. We thank you. And I just want to, I want to encourage everyone to support what you're doing and who this man is. I think
Marshall probably realized that if people viewed Alexander as a hero, and if they considered Marshall to be his ally who had diligently and effectively covered Alexander's story, they would probably view Marshall in a similar way and want to support him as well. Note, we think that it's good that the Pachamama idols were removed from the church. We are not criticizing that action. The problem, rather, is that Marshall deceptively presented the situation in order to gain traffic, reporting prestige, and possibly financial support. The insincerity of Marshall's publicity stunts is connected to why he is, sadly, a false traditionalist who doesn't have the true faith. Marshall obstinately adheres to the Vatican II sect despite seeing a mountain of evidence that it's not the Catholic Church. The Vatican II sect is not the Catholic Church, but rather the prophesied end times counterchurch, as our material explains. The Catholic Church still exists, but it's not headed by Jorge Bergoglio, and more proof of that comes out weekly. The current situation in Rome was prophesied. We previously published a video called Taylor Marshall's Errors, Contradictions, and Deception. It covers a number of the significant problems with Marshall's statements and his theology. In fact, in his July 4th, 2023, quote, presidential platform video, Marshall calls James Martin and Joe Biden Catholic.
The Catholic community is very divided, very broken. You can stand in a room and you can say, there's Taylor Marshall, there's James Martin, there's Joe Biden, there's Archbishop Gomez. They're all Catholic.
That proves that Marshall doesn't have the Catholic faith and adheres to a false ecclesiology, for Martin and Biden are notorious heretics and non-Catholics. By the way, a few years ago, Marshall blocked us on social media and liked a post that falsely called us heretics. No, he is the heretic. In our video called No Latin Masses or Prayers for Deceased Non-Catholics, we also refute Marshall's false position that people may pray for deceased non-Catholics, such as the deceased non-Catholic Queen Elizabeth.
Yes, very sad. Before I went live, I learned that Queen Elizabeth II has passed away and gone to her reward. May she rest in peace, and may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace.
Marshall's statement about the deceased, notoriously heretical non-Catholic queen was an expression of heresy, and contrary to the defined dogma, outside the church, there is no salvation. As we've shown in this video, Marshall's priority is to promote himself, when it should be fidelity to God's truth and consistency. Now, on July 29th, 2022, Marshall posted a video about how during his 2022 trip to Canada, Francis participated in a pagan ritual that invokes the, quote, Western grandmother in order to gain access to the, quote, sacred circle of spirits. We also published a video on this matter. It was a striking act of apostasy by Antipope Francis, one of the worst acts in the history of the Vatican II counterchurch.
I'll open the 4 directions. I will whistle 4 times. This is a wild turkey bone I've had for about 20 years, and I use it in my ceremonies. Before I do that, I'd like for you to put your hands on your heart, each one of you. The heart can be like a talking stick, but that's where the Creator put wisdom in humans. And we often need to remind ourselves of this. It's an important gesture to connect ourselves with that wisdom.
Thank you.
ask the Western Grandmother to give us access to the sacred circle of spirits so they can be with us, so we can be united and stronger together.
It constituted more clear proof that Francis is not the Pope. Because the act was so heretical and appalling, at that time there was a lot of momentum to denounce Francis. In an attempt to capitalize on that momentum and make it look like he is one with the many people who were denouncing Francis, Marshall stated in his video, quote, "I do not see how Francis Bergoglio can be the vicar of Christ," end quote.
I came home from work and my kids were in the living room invoking Western Grandmother in order to get access to the circle of spirits. I would throw over tables and start sprinkling holy water and saying, "Stop what you are doing. You are bringing demons into our home and into your hearts and into your lives. Stop this nonsense. Get your rosary beads, get the holy water. We're going to start praying. We got to call a priest in and exorcise our home. Because y'all have strayed off the path into paganism and in superstition." That's what a dad does. That's what a father does. That's what a holy father should do. That's what a pope should do. That's what the vicar of Christ should do. What does he do? He invites the diabolical and the demonic into the church. I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss. I do not see how Francis Bergoglio can be the vicar of Christ.
Well, a pope, by definition, is the vicar of Christ, as Vatican I teaches. When Marshall says that he can't see how Francis is the vicar of Christ, he's saying that he can't see how he's the pope. That means that Marshall does not regard Francis as the pope. Marshall made that statement when momentum was strong against Francis. Marshall was riding the wave of anti-Francis zeal. He was appealing to the more traditional audience, which was disgusted by Francis and his activity. But fast forward a few weeks or months, Marshall was back to calling him Pope Francis, Pope Francis, Pope Francis.
Pope Francis.
That's not of God. To be inconsistent, to speak out of both sides of your mouth, as Marshall does, is of the devil.
This man's a heretic. Francis, heretic. Pope Francis.
In fact, when NCR published their article about his supposed presidential run, they described Marshall as a sedevacantist. On May 17, 2023, Marshall commented on that by saying, quote, "Should I sue National Catholic Reporter for libel?" End quote. Marshall thus considers it a horrible and damaging lie to call him a sedevacantist, when, as we just saw, in July of last year, he said that he could not see how Bergoglio is the vicar of Christ, and he has repeatedly called Bergoglio a heretic.
I'm at a loss. I do not see how Francis Bergoglio can be the vicar of Christ.
Marshall is inconsistent and insincere. His priority is not the truth of God. In fact, on April 20th, 2023, just a few weeks before implying that he might sue NCR for libel, Marshall agreed with a commenter who described Bergoglio and those with him as imposters.
Gerard, these are imposter infiltrators. 100% agree. 100% agree.
If they are imposters, they are not legitimate, but Marshall considers them to be legitimate. He speaks out of both sides of his mouth. Marshall will present himself as very traditional when it's to his advantage, but when he's surrounded by members of the Novus Ordo or defenders of the Vatican II sect, he's one of them. Taylor Marshall is actually Novus Ordo in theology, even though he sometimes likes to come across as a traditionalist. For example, here's a video from July 7th, 2023, in which Marshall and a so-called priest named Juan Razo, one of Marshall's friends, are speaking. Razo states, and Marshall clearly agrees with him, that if you don't have a traditional mass to attend, you should, quote, find the best liturgy you have in your area, which clearly indicates that people should go to the new mass if they don't have access to a traditional mass.
If you have traditional mass close to your area, you go to traditional mass. If you don't have a traditional mass, find the best liturgy you have in your area.
That's not traditional. No one may attend the false new mass for any reason. In the same interview, Marshall and Razo talk about how multitudes have left the faith and or don't practice the Catholic faith anymore, and Razo says, quote, "I am not saying that they are guilty for that," end quote.
You know, thousands, millions of people who used to have the Catholic faith, they don't have this faith anymore.
No, we saw that in Portugal.
Portugal.
We saw that in Spain. We certainly saw that in France.
Yeah, and we can see that also in Latin America.
Yes.
Yeah. People are leaving the Catholic Church or they just don't practice the faith anymore. You know, they call themselves Catholics, but they just don't know anything about Catholic doctrine. They don't practice their faith. Yeah. I'm not saying that they are guilty for that, but it is, that's a reality, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's just modernism and heresy. Yes, people are guilty for leaving the Catholic faith or not practicing it. Nevertheless, Marshall considers Raza to be a strong Catholic priest when he's sadly not.
Thank God we have so many good priests. We still have so many good priests, you know, loyal to Jesus.
That's because Marshall is not a true Catholic, and he's in the Vatican II counter-church, the Whore of Babylon. If Raza was ordained in the new rite of Antipope Paul VI, then he's not a valid priest. Marshall's false position that Francis is still to be considered the Pope is connected to, among other things, his faulty understanding of the teaching of St. Robert Bellarmine and a mistranslation of Bellarmine upon which Marshall relies. As we've pointed out in various videos and in the Sedevacantism debate, St. Robert Bellarmine taught that manifest heretics lose membership in the Church and any authority they might hold ipso facto, which means by the fact itself or automatically. That's before any declaration or Church intervention. Bellarmine makes this very clear by repeatedly teaching that someone who preaches heresy notoriously cannot hold office in the Church. The preaching of heresy is, of course, prior to any declaration or Church intervention. That's not just Bellarmine's opinion. It's the authentic teaching of the Fathers, and it's magisterially supported by the teaching of Pope St. Celestine and Pope Nicholas. It's contrary to Catholic teaching to obstinately profess communion with someone like Jorge Bergoglio, who does not profess the true faith. The Catholic Church teaches that only those who are baptized and profess the true faith can be considered members of the Church, see Pius XII's Mystici Corporis. Marshall wrongly thinks that Bellarmine teaches that a publicly heretical claimant should be recognized as the Pope until he is formally admonished or declared to be a heretic by cardinals or by a council.
Before people can say, adios, Francis Bergoglio, there has to be an admonishment. That's the process.
That's a false position. Marshall even seems to think that a man who is considered the Pope can be put on trial, which is definitely contrary to Catholic teaching.
But there needs to be a formal process of an admonishment, and then it leads to a general council and to a trial. Let me continue reading on St. Robert Bellarmine on this process.
Marshall's false conclusion on this matter is connected to a mistranslation of St. Robert Bellarmine's work on councils, Book 1, Chapter 9, which he uses. Here's what Marshall claims St. Robert Bellarmine teaches.
And to a trial. Let me continue reading on St. Robert Bellarmine on this process. As it is related in the Eighth Council, general councils ought to impose judgment on controversies arising in regard to the Roman pontiff, albeit not rashly.
Marshall has Bellarmine saying, quote, general councils ought to impose judgment on controversies arising in regard to the Roman pontiff, albeit not rashly, end quote. But that's not what Bellarmine taught at all. Marshall has inaccurate information. He's using a mistranslation of Bellarmine published by Ryan Grant.
Of course, St. John Paul II.
Ryan Grant's translation of this passage is wrong, and it significantly alters Bellarmine's meaning. Here's the Latin text of what Bellarmine actually wrote in Book 1, Chapter 9 on councils. The sentence beginning with debent is what we are focused on here. Bellarmine says, debent generalia concilia conoscere. That means general councils ought to become acquainted with or to learn about. It doesn't mean general councils ought to impose judgment. Here's a proper translation of the full sentence. Quote, general councils should become acquainted with controversies that have sprung up around the Roman pontiff, but nevertheless not audaciously pass sentence against him, end quote. The key word that was mistranslated by Ryan Grant, a mistranslation used by Taylor Marshall and many others, is conoscere. Conoscere does not mean to impose judgment. It means to become acquainted with, to learn about, or to get to know. Conoscere is cognate with words like cognition or cognizant, which refer to having knowledge about something or being aware of something. Conoscere in this passage definitely does not mean to impose judgment. So, Grant's translation, which is used by Marshall, is wrong. And it's a significant mistake since this mistranslation of Bellarmine has been repeated by many defenders of the Vatican II antipopes and on various websites. If Bellarmine had taught what Marshall says, then he would have been teaching the error of conciliarism, that a general council can and even should issue authoritative judgments against a reigning pope, but that's a false doctrine and it's not what Bellarmine taught. In addition to mistranslating the first part of this key sentence, Ryan Grant's translation upon which Taylor Marshall relies gets the end of it wrong as well. Bellarmine concludes the sentence by saying, quote, non tamen audacter in eum sententiam ferre, end quote. That means, but nevertheless, not audaciously pass sentence against him, end quote. Bellarmine is clear. While general counsel should become acquainted with or learn about controversies concerning the Roman pontiff, nevertheless they should not pass a sentence against him, because no one has any authority, and that includes a council, to act against a pope while he's still considered the pope. To say otherwise denies the church's teaching that the first seat is judged by no one, a teaching that's contradicted by Marshall's false position. So the mistranslation that Marshall and others use, which comes from Ryan Grant, turns Bellarmine into a conciliarist. It has Bellarmine teaching that council should impose judgment upon someone who is considered a Roman pontiff, when that is not what Bellarmine taught. Bellarmine does teach that sentences, depositions, punishments, etc. can be brought against a heretic who has already ceased to be pope through his own actions. Hence, in this chapter, which is not about loss of office per se, but about why general councils might be called, Bellarmine says that in the case in which a pope were considered suspect of heresy, a general council can be called to depose him if he were found to be a heretic, deposition here referring to initiating the process for physical removal and leveling additional punishments. That can be done if it's found that such a person has already lost papal authority due to the fact that he was a heretic. Bellarmine is not saying that someone is considered the pope or has jurisdiction until a council makes a declaration or deposes him. No, Bellarmine is very clear that no one can issue any authoritative judgment, much less a deposition, against one who is still considered the pope. Hence, in the very next chapter, Book 1, Chapter 10 on Councils, Bellarmine states, quote, "For on account of suspicions concerning the doctrine and life of the pontiffs, there were never convened any councils except provincial or national. Neither does it seem truly necessary for a major council to be gathered for this reason. For as long as he is truly pontiff, he cannot be judged by any council, unless perhaps he himself grants power to the council for examining his own case and of passing a discretionary sentence, not nevertheless a coercive sentence," end quote. Here Bellarmine is very clear, and this is in the very chapter after the one we were discussing. He says, "Nam dum est vere pontifex," which means, for as long as he is truly pontiff, he cannot be judged by any council. Bellarmine says this about someone who is suspect in doctrine. So even when the man is suspect in doctrine, a general council cannot judge him. This is the opposite of what the false traditionalists such as Marshall want you to believe. They say that he is to be considered the pope until he is judged by the council or by the cardinals. No, Bellarmine teaches that so long as he is considered the pope, he cannot be judged by a council or by anyone. The council can only act against someone who has already lost papal authority in the sight of the church through his preaching of heresy, because in that case they are not judging, deposing, and punishing a pope, but rather a heretic who is not the pope. Since a general council can only judge someone who has already ceased to be pope through himself and through his own actions, that means that the man loses authority quorum ecclesia, that is, in the sight of the church, regardless of whether a general council or cardinals recognize it. Yes, it's great if an imperfect council or cardinals did recognize it, but the man loses authority on account of manifest heresy regardless of whether they recognize it or not. By the way, Bellarmine's statement here that a pope can grant power to a council to issue a discretionary sentence simply means that a pope could theoretically commission a council to issue a report on his case that has no binding authority. That's why he says that the council cannot issue any coercive sentence so long as the man is truly pontiff. Some extremely dishonest defenders of the Vatican to antipopes, who are really just liars, twist this reference like they pervert so many other things. They claim that Bellarmine's reference to a discretionary sentence means that some kind of preliminary declaration must be issued by a council against a pope who is suspect. But as any literate and honest person can see, the passage doesn't teach that at all. A discretionary, non-coercive sentence which the pope can allow the council to issue is just a report that a pope can authorize a council to make, which the pope can then reject. That's why it's not coercive. There are a few other passages from Bellarmine that false traditionalists and defenders of the antipopes misuse, but we can perhaps cover those in a different video. Marshall makes another mistake when commenting on Bellarmine's position. He thinks that Bellarmine taught that a pope could be deposed for tyranny.
Well, today I'm going to be reading from St. Robert Bellarmine, and he gives a process for the deposition of a pope in two situations, in suspicion of heresy and in tyranny. And he believes that it's just that a general council could be called in order to declare deposed such a pope.
But he didn't read the passage carefully. Bellarmine is not saying that a council could depose a pope for tyranny. He's saying that a council could admonish him for such, but even such an admonition by a council would not be canonical or authoritative, since a council has no authority over a pope. It would merely be a powerful fraternal correction, different in intensity, but not in kind, from what the pope would receive from a layman. Furthermore, the position of the false traditionalists on this matter is just illogical. If, according to them, Bergoglio is to be considered the Pope until the, quote, cardinals or a council declare him to be a heretic, what if Bergoglio were to issue a counter-declaration stating that the, quote, cardinals or the council members are wrong? Those who recognize Bergoglio as the Pope would have to follow Bergoglio's declaration and reject the declaration of the, quote, cardinals or the council. That illustrates again that no one under the man considered Pope, whether it's a council, quote, cardinals, etc., can issue any authoritative declarations or even warnings against him. That's what Marshall and those like him don't understand. In regard to a man considered the Pope, the correction or admonition of a layman is as authoritative as that of a, quote, cardinal or a council. It's all in the realm of merely fraternal, not canonical, correction, since the first seat is judged by no one. Those merely fraternal corrections or admonitions cannot compel a pope to do anything that he is not otherwise compelled to do by the divine law or dogmatic teaching. That's why the manifest heretic ceases to be pope automatically through himself when he preaches heresy, irrespective of whether a council or, quote, cardinals recognize it. Thus, Bergoglio is not the pope, and he never was the pope. As Bellarmine correctly teaches, Catholics are not to recognize as a shepherd a wolf who attacks the sheep with heretical preaching. Taylor Marshall agrees that Francis is a wolf who preaches heresy and kills the sheep with his heretical preaching.
When you're out with sheep, if a wolf runs in to the sheepfold and the shepherd is away, those sheep are going to be, mah, mah, and they're going to be telling all the other sheep, there is a wolf here, look out, y'all are about to die, someone's going to get bit. There's about to be blood on the ground. A wolf is in the sheepfold. And I'm on a webcam right now going, bah, there is wolves. There is blood. There is danger amongst us. All I can do is let other people know, hey, do you want to get bitten by a wolf? Do you want a wolf to put his jaws on your throat? Look out. And he's promoting heresy, its destruction in the vineyard of Jesus Christ.
Yet he still considers him to be a true shepherd and the Pope. His position is false. It leads people to and keeps people under a wolf and a false church. Marshall also considers members of the Vatican II sect who obstinately accept the new mass, the heresies of Vatican II, and false ecumenism, such as Joseph Strickland, to be staunch Catholics.
Pope Francis has his eyes set on Bishop Strickland of Tyler, Texas. Hey, I may not live in Tyler, Texas, but he's my bishop. I'm a sheep. I can hear the sound of the shepherd in the voice of Bishop Strickland. Yes, Your Excellency. Amen and amen. Spoken like an apostle. Spoken like a successor to the apostles. We talk all about apostolic succession. What about apostolic success? Apostolic truth. And that's where Bishop Strickland excels.
Besides accepting the new mass and the heresies of Vatican II, Strickland endorsed everything written by the notorious heretic and false ecumenist anti-pope Benedict XVI. See our videos on Benedict XVI for the abundant documentation of his horrible heresies and sins against the faith, based on research of 30 of his books and all of his speeches. Among other things, anti-pope Benedict XVI held an idolatrous Assisi prayer meeting, patterned after John Paul II's event. Yet, Strickland agrees with everything Benedict XVI wrote, and Marshall thinks that Strickland is a strong Catholic bishop. That's because Marshall is obstinately in the Vatican II counter-church, a false church. He's not Catholic. Marshall also frequently likes to deflect criticism or responsibility by saying, I'm just a dad with a webcam.
I'm just a dad with a webcam.
I'm just a dad on a webcam. I don't get to make any of these rules. I know you don't have to listen to me. I'm just a little layman out here. Me, my wife, my kids, got my webcam.
But no, that doesn't work at all because one, Marshall prominently puts himself out there as a teacher, and two, Marshall constantly tells people to share his videos and promote him.
Hit the share button, share it on Twitter, share it on Facebook, share it everywhere. Like this video, share this podcast, give it a 5-star review if you listen on like iTunes or Spotify. Subscribe if you're new.
Everybody subscribe. Do it. We also need some more likes. Hit that like button. Let's go. Here, make sure you like the video, share, etc. By the way, if you're not subscribed, please do subscribe. You can hit the subscription button in the corner. Make sure you hit the bell. You'll be notified. Do it now. Don't wait. You want to be subscribed. Subscribe and hit the bell. While we're at it, give this video a like, a thumbs up, and then go ahead and share this video.
He also frequently asks for people to support him.
By the way, if you want to really support this channel, I always encourage people to go to patreon.com. Really, it's the patrons that make that possible, fund that, do all that. So if you want to be one of those partners with me and be a patron, a generous patron, go to patreon.com/DR Taylor Marshall.
James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. When Marshall puts himself out there as a teacher and an analyst of these matters and constantly tells people to share and promote his videos, his culpability goes way up.
While we're at it, let's get those likes up. Hit the thumbs up. There's only 128 thumbs up, 771 of you here. Hit the thumbs up, and then let's share this. Let's get people in here.
He has a strict obligation to be accurate and truthful about the current situation. These matters are extremely serious, but he obstinately gets it wrong. Thus, his claim that he's just a dad with a webcam is meaningless. Marshall dishonestly ignored the Vatican to apostasy for years under Antipope Benedict XVI, and he finally decided to start criticizing Francis and the Vatican II Counterchurch about 5 or 6 years ago, when it became more popular to criticize Francis.
From 2013 to 2016, I tried to square the circle. And as you know, I was like, well, you know, I was one of the Pope's planners. Well, you know, Pope Francis said this, but in the Spanish, it could mean this. Or in a certain context, it could mean this. And it was in 2016, and especially in 2017, that I stopped doing that.
When he first really started to criticize Francis and the Vatican II Counterchurch, we hoped that he would come around. We care about these people and we want them all to embrace the full truth. We also recognize that there is a process by which people realize, wow, things are bad in Rome. And then they become familiar with the relevant Catholic teaching and the full implications of what has happened. Our material, however, should make the process very rapid because we provide abundant evidence about what the Vatican II antipopes have done and taught, what has happened, and the relevant Catholic teaching about how these men cannot represent the Church. So even though there is a process by which people come up to speed and recognize that the Vatican II sect is not the Church, but rather the prophesied end times counterchurch, our material and the abundant evidence available now should make that process very rapid. But after he started to criticize Francis, years passed, and Marshall continued to promote the same false conclusions that Francis is the Pope, that the new rite of ordination is valid, and that the Vatican II sect is the Church. That's because he's not of goodwill at this time. The false message that Marshall promotes, namely one of criticism of Francis and criticism of the most notorious scandals in the counterchurch, while remaining under the Vatican II sect's fake hierarchy, is a position that appeals to many people. But it's not the true position. It's a false position that leaves people in communion with a counterchurch. There is only hope in the authentic and uncompromised Catholic faith. If Marshall can't figure out that it's contrary to Catholic teaching to obstinately profess communion with Jorge Bergoglio and the Vatican II sect, then he should stop commenting on these matters. Marshall probably thinks that he's doing a good job for God and that he's headed for heaven.
I'm hoping that when I die and I stand before Jesus, he's like, you know what? You lived in a big crisis. And I'd be like, I know, I didn't do enough. I didn't. And he's like, okay, but you know, you did warn some people when you get the book. You did actually go all the way to Rome with Francis. Hopefully, I'm good. Pray for me.
But he's very deceived. He's actually headed straight for hell. He even still acknowledges as a saint the notorious heretic and idolater Antipope John Paul II.
Saint John Paul II. I know there's people probably right now in the live chat and they're saying, yeah, but he's a saint, Taylor. He's a saint. He's a saint. He's a saint. He's a saint. He did good things. Eastern Europe, communism. Okay, I get all that.
Among John Paul II's many other heresies, sins, and blasphemies, he taught that the Son of God became every man in the Incarnation, as our material proves. He blasphemously defined Christianity as the supreme amazement at man. You cannot save your soul venerating John Paul II as a saint in the face of the facts about him. That's another reason why Antipope Francis must be rejected, since he solemnly, quote, canonized John Paul II. If Marshall were really concerned about rejecting idolatry, he wouldn't venerate as a saint a man who publicly endorsed and promoted idolatry and blasphemously taught that belief in idols and false gods is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Marshall is also totally wrong on the end times. The prophecies are being fulfilled now in Rome. The Vatican II sect is the prophesied Whore of Babylon. See our videos such as Apocalypse Now in the Vatican, and even many things Marshall has said about paganism currently in Rome under the Vatican II Counterchurch, and how it parallels what happened under pagan Rome, just further supports what we've pointed out, namely that the beast, that is pagan Rome, which was replaced by Christian Rome and Christian Europe, has returned now in the last days, politically under the EU and spiritually under the Vatican II Counterchurch. And this deception has occurred in the Temple of God in Rome. See our video, The Temple of God and the Antichrist Located, among others.
I mean,
just incredible.
You can't help but draw apocalyptic conclusions. It feels like we're in the great apostasy, this end times drama that we're experiencing.
Sadly, our fathers, our spiritual fathers, who should be fathers in Christ, have allowed and tolerated these idols, not only in their presence and in their midst, but in a holy Catholic church dedicated to the Mother of God. The Church of Santa Maria Trasputina is just down the street from St. Peter's. It's actually kind of between St. Peter's and Castle San Angelo. And according to legend, Pope Alexander VI, built this church on a pyramid that had been rumored or allegedly was the tomb of Romulus, the founder of Rome. Think of this in your mind. Just down the street is the tomb of St. Peter, the founder of the Church of Rome. Right on down is Romulus, the traditional founder, the mythical founder of pagan Rome. Pagan Rome. This is really a battle between two founders. Peter, who brings the pure gospel of Jesus Christ to Rome, and Romulus, who sets up a pagan empire, originally a city that becomes a pagan empire, in the city of Rome. And I can't help but wonder whether it was intentional or not that these idols were placed in a church that had been built on the reputed tomb of Romulus, founder of Rome. The subversion and the inversion that we're seeing is really a conversion back to paganism.
Although I do think that Marshall truly wants to promote some truth, his actions prove that telling the full truth and serving God is not his ultimate priority. His ultimate priority is to promote himself, even if it means denying the truth in the process. Promoting partial truth, or even much of the truth, but not the whole truth, is not sufficient to escape the snares of the devil and save your soul. Such a person will become an instrument of the devil. A person must subordinate everything to doing God's will and defending his truth without compromise, even if it means losing many things. We hope that Marshall converts, but he's a false teacher. He does promote much more truth than the satanic defenders of the Vatican II sect, who dishonestly try to justify or explain away much of the Vatican to apostasy. That's why even some of those extremely wicked individuals attack him. Even though he promotes a lot of truth on certain occasions, Marshall plays a significant role for the devil by leading conservative-minded people right back to the Vatican II counter-church and its false hierarchy. People who follow him think that they are well-informed, but in reality they aren't, because his conclusions are false. To be truly Catholic and be saved, people need to be traditional Catholics, as our material explains.